And welcome, everybody. Hello, this is Brady Goutet again, and we are back in the next part of our series where we are discussing the wonderful world of art and philosophy and psychology with the charming Lyra Bardsley, who is here for our next issue in the topic which we're looking at, art as a salve, in other words, art as an ointment. In the seeing and doing, is there a place in the psychological world for artist healing, and how might that work? How can we use art in the healing process? So Lyra, welcome to the next episode. Can we in fact do that? Can we use art as a healing device for people that are not well?
Absolutely. I think there are, if art is seen to be a language, a visual language, or if we were talking about music, an auditory language, then there's ways of expressing pain, and through the expression of pain coming to a resolution of healing that can happen through those sorts of languages that may be easier to access when you're in the depth of despair or in need of healing, that can lead to an experience that is more releasing, more gentle than maybe the talking languages can offer us.
Have you ever asked your clients to bring in artwork for you to look at?
Yeah, I have. Or sometimes they've done that spontaneously. And it's incredibly powerful, even if it's a, you know, a stick drawing, to be able to represent an inner world, a world where perhaps they don't have the language, they can't get a grip on what they're experiencing. But when they put it into the visual form, it allows them a bit of distance, an opportunity even to have a conversation about it or even with the suffering, and by doing so to separate themselves out of that experience.
I gather it's used quite a lot in order to deal with children that may be in a domestic abuse space and that sort of environment. Is that true?
Yes, yeah, that is true. Especially if children are pre-verbal or... we just stop there.
A small interlude there while the dog has to go for its doggy things it has to do. We were talking about the use of art, particularly in children, and you said that it is used as an alternate language.
Yeah, I think for children, if they're pre-verbal or don't necessarily have the language to describe the complexity of the issues that are going on in their family environment, often using art, the colours they use, the things they depict, or even asking the child what they're wanting to say in the picture, using it as a tool for lubricating the conversation, can be really useful.
What about for older people, though? People, you know, that are middle-aged or whatever, does art have a place there?
I think of always. Art seems to access parts of the brain, if you like, is a easier tool for the unconscious to express itself than language. So I personally, but then again I'm an artist, but I would find it easier to work in the visual field if I was trying to describe a dream that was very emotionally driven and didn't necessarily have a very conceptual story, whereas if it were trying to tell you, if I was going to give you directions, again I find that easier to draw and express through image. Image is a very powerful tool that goes really quite directly into our inner world.
Well, there was, you know, as a sort of layman's term, the ink blot psychological test that was using art in order to be able to find out what people were thinking. Would you use art in a gallery environment as part of a therapy, potentially? Would you say to people, I think you should go and have a look at this or go and have a look at that? Or
yes, I would. I mean, I would use a lot of different methods, whether it would be visual art, whether it would be music, whether it would be images in the shape of a film or a narrative. I think it allows the person on one hand to sort of escape the cage of their own little microcosm, which we can get so caught up in what's happening inside of us that we forget to either see ourselves as not the only person in an environment that's challenging. And I think one of the things that can be most healing for an individual is to realise that they're not alone. And I think in some ways language is often limited by the experiences that we've had when we learnt it. So if words and narratives are often really coded at the time that we were growing in and the family environment within which we grew. And so there are ways in which language limits our capacity for healing, limits our expression, and that can be transcended through the auditory, through music, or through the visual, through
art. Yes, because it's not always just about painting. That being said, though, is that if I came to you with my work, aren't I doing what you as an artist does? I'm looking for your acclamation. I'm looking for your support. Even though it may be a psychologist working with a patient, I would still be heartbroken if you looked at something and you said, well, yeah, I can see where you might be going with that. I'm not saying, of course, you would handle it that way. But unless I got this, oh, you know, are you sure you don't want to put this on the Sistine Chapel ceiling? You'd destroy me. Isn't that a possibility?
Well, I think in my understanding of Jung's work, that he would say that when you have a dream, every aspect of that dream is an aspect of the self. Every character in that dream, every situation in that dream is an aspect of yourself. So if I were interpreting that dream, I'd be trying to see the bits of you, say, you had that was murdering the other bit of you. And I'd look at that conflict and I'd be exploring that with you. And same if you brought me something, even if it was a blob of scribbly colour, I'd be looking at what that, either what your intention was, what your expression, what aspects of you were expressing in that. I wouldn't be judging that as whether it was good or not.
No, you wouldn't, but I may want you to.
You might, but then there may be lots of transferences that we'd have to explore in our therapeutic relationships. And that would be one of them. If you were coming to me like a little boy saying, did I do good? Is this pretty? Can we stick it on the wall of a chapel or something? And I could say, yes, well, we could do that, but whether or not people would pay to come to see it, you know, and what does that mean to you? Mm. You know, or I value you, even though I may not like that scribble that you brought, I value you. And what does that mean? How can you hold your sense of self independent from the creation that you've made?
Okay. Well, it certainly makes sense to me for art to be used for that. But I think, again, it does. And you said it at the start too, when we've talked about it before, that your art opens up the soul. It is. You didn't say this exactly, but it does. It does open up the you with a capital Y, and it lays it bare. It's open soul surgery, for want of a better description.
Well, exactly. In the creative struggle, there's a process you go through as an artist which can be extremely painful as well as joyous. And then there's the process of putting it on the wall and being nakedly on the wall for people to see and judge. And that in itself is quite, it's an enormously unravelling process.
Well, you've done that a few times, haven't you?
I have.
And take us through that, or give us one example of one of your showings, How did it start? How did and what did you feel like?
Well, one that was an easier process for me, and that was because it was a number of portraits of people whom I had an emotional connection with. So it was easier because I was working with a sense of the likeness of the person. So I had some containment in that level, whereas in an abstract you just have to go with a feeling. And therefore, when you put it on the wall, you're even more exposed because, you know, while it felt resolved for you at the time, things might have changed and, you know, a month later when you come around to the exhibition, it doesn't feel right and you're very embarrassed standing there with a big blob on the wall and everyone's looking at it sideways going, what that's supposed to be?
Is it hung the right way up?
Did you mean that to look like this? But in this case, it was a number of portraits that were quite nicely done, had time to be completed and looked very much like the people that they were that were there in the show. So, you know, people could say, oh, that's nice because that looks so much like you. And in addition to that, I guess the people that were viewing the portraits and liked them so much that they took them home with them. So that was a nice experience and is rarely the case at my stage of career where you sell 3/4 of your works. You know, it's often you fork out a few thousand dollars to have the opportunity to put your works on the wall, and then you stand there feeling incredibly vulnerable on the night, especially if you're not someone that can drink alcohol. I would have an allergy to alcohol, so and so everyone's getting sloshed and you're there feeling completely sober and embarrassed and not able to make small talk. And it's a very painful process for me, but I'm working on it. And then you have to take 15 pieces home and put them in your front room and wonder what to do with them. And that can do your head in as an artist. Mm. It really can. So it's not an easy thing.
No.
So I don't necessarily think making art is wonderfully therapeutic. I mean, some people find baking therapeutic. I would hate that experience. I'm not a cook. I don't bake. I love eating. I find eating therapeutic, but not baking and not necessarily art. I mean, sometimes I question my reason for existence or whether or not I should have given up my day job every time I have those, you know, endless hours sometimes of trying to make something work on canvas. Or and other times I wouldn't change my life for a moment.
No. Well, I don't blame you for that at all. Well, that completes our exploration this week. Next week we're going to take it a little bit further because we're going to look at art angst, and that is the way that you've sort of alluded to by putting your head on the chopping block for a showing, for a gallery, in what art angst is to the artist. Is it, in fact, the cocaine of pain and anger and distress and all the bad things that makes it work? But let's explore that week. Explore that next week. But for the moment, it's going to be back to the studio. But first of all, Laura, thank you for chatting with us today.
Thank you, Brody.
See you next week.
See you.